Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Opening the Red Door, the inside story of Russia's first Christian liberal arts university, by John A. Birnbaum. Foreword by Philip Yancey. Narrated by P.J. Oakland. Foreword. Philip Yancey. The year 1989 saw a revolution as earth-shaking as the one that had occurred in France 200 years before. Without a shot being fired, the hated Berlin Wall fell. And as the world watched in amazement, one by one, countries such as Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, and Romania threw off the shackles of communism. Even more shockingly, client states within the USSR began declaring their independence, and within 2 years, the superpower known as the Soviet Union ceased to exist. I visited Russia in November 1991, while the revolution was still sorting itself out. Soviet hardliners had recently attempted a coup, kidnapping Mikhail Gorbachev in Crimea and sending troops and tanks into the streets of Moscow. In response, Boris Yeltsin led courageous street protests and turned the tide toward democracy, becoming a national hero in the process. Gorbachev returned to the city, and by the time I arrived, he was engaged in a power struggle with Yeltsin. No one knew who would prevail. I went to Russia as part of a group of 19, the first delegation of Western Christian leaders ever invited to Moscow by the government. The letter of invitation, signed by the chairman of the Supreme Soviet, could have been written by an evangelical about the United States. It began, "In the difficult, often agonizing transitional period that our country is experiencing, spiritual and moral values acquire a great, if not paramount, significance in their ability to guarantee us against confrontation, civil conflicts, the erosion of moral foundations, and the lowering of standards." These words were remarkable in view of Russia's hostile attitude toward all religion during most of the 20th century. The zealously atheist government had shuttered 98 of every 100 churches and killed 42,000 priests. Scholars estimate that at least 10 million martyrs died for their religious beliefs. Now Russian leaders were anxiously looking for spiritual renewal. Gorbachev himself had written in his book Perestroika, "Today, our main job is to lift the individual spiritually, respecting his inner world and giving him moral strength and help." As guests of the president, those of us in the Christian delegation were treated like VIPs, meeting with Gorbachev and the Russian Duma, parliament, as well as officials of the KGB. For a journalist like me, however, the most memorable meeting took place at the office of the renowned communist newspaper, Pravda. The newspaper occupied a five-story building in the heart of Moscow's printing district, though many of the offices in that building now sat vacant. Pravda's circulation had fallen off a cliff, from 11 million subscribers to 700,000, and to survive, the newspaper had reduced its staff by two-thirds. It soon became clear why Pravda was hosting our delegation. We were being recruited for a kind of reverse propaganda. In an act of desperation, the official organ of the Communist Party was reaching out to its antithesis, Evangelical Christianity, as a way of gaining credibility, or at least gaining sales. "Perhaps we could reprint from the Bible," suggested the editor. "Or could one of you write a regular column on religion?" The editors were shaken to the core, so much so that they were now seeking help from emissaries of religion, which Karl Marx had famously called the opium of the people. The editor-in-chief of Pravda admitted that Christian values may be the only thing to keep our country from falling apart. He seemed genuinely puzzled by the recent turn of events. "We went to the best Marxist schools. We learned about equality and justice, about the need to overcome poverty and racism. You Christians share so many of the ideals we were committed to. Yet, with the best of intentions, we communists ended up creating the greatest monstrosity."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?